At least one state lawmaker wants to propose an education cost-saving measure that could close dozens of rural schools across the state. KTOO's Jennifer Canfield has more.
It started as a rumor. Democratic lawmakers and some education advocates have heard about it. That there are new ideas for changing how the state pays for education isn't a surprise. That this proposal could close 60 schools across the state is.
With the technology that we have today and the options that are available, 10 is just, it's too expensive.
That's Republican Representative Lynn Gaddis of Wasilla. She chairs the House Education Committee and is considering introducing legislation to change a number of things about how schools in Alaska are funded. One of her ideas is to increase the minimum threshold for schools to receive full funding. She's considering proposing 25 students as the minimum, but she's open to a number higher or lower than that.
And so, you know, if I was in charge, I would open up those options, whether there be virtual schools. Hey, I went to school when it was correspondence back in the day, and we have come a long way.
Hyder would close, Nauke would close, Whale Pass would close, Port Protection would close.
Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins represents a handful of Southeast Alaska communities.
Pelican would close, different school districts. Clarkwan School would close. There might be a couple of others, but yeah, I mean, that's just Southeast.
Three schools that were closed in Alaska in the last fiscal year all were in Southeast. The Sitka Democrat said he unequivocally opposes raising the minimum threshold.
Closing schools, depriving rural kids of a teacher and a traditional education that kids in cities and parents in cities would reasonably expect is not fair or equitable. And it's a complete non-starter.
Typically, once a school goes below the threshold and loses most of its funding, the district is forced to close the school unless it makes the rare decision to siphon funding from other schools it administers. But in this case, pushing funds around may not even be an option. Many of Alaska's smallest schools are in the same school districts. The Southeast Island School District, for example, has 9 schools. 8 of them have fewer than 25 students. Superintendent Lauren Birch said his district used to have 20 schools.
Even this talk about the possibility of it going to 25 is enough to get parents jumpy. You know, just the talk will close a few schools because it's hard keeping enough kids there. Who's going to move to a community when they think they might close it?
Birch said 3 of the district schools lost funding a few years ago because enrollment fell under the threshold. He said the district cut spending on basic school supplies and maintenance for buildings and buses to cover the loss. Republican lawmakers say growth in education spending is unsustainable and must be checked.
I don't think it's fair to just say that's the biggest number out there, or Medicaid and education are big, so let's take it from there.
Education Commissioner Mike Hanley thinks that if cuts to the state budget must be made, then education should be a priority to maintain. As an example, he questioned whether education funding was more important than funding for trail maintenance, or maybe as important as funding for law enforcement.
At some point, we have to say, we're not willing to go any lower in education, and I don't know what that number is, but at some point, we have to say, what's our constitutional responsibility to provide an education? What's our moral responsibility to supply and provide an education? And can we still meet that obligation with less money?
Comments on a possible change in the minimum threshold were included in several speakers' remarks during the National Congress of American Indians Conference with the Alaska Federation of Natives and during the AFN convention. Concerns were mainly focused on how such a change would make rural education less equitable. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Canfield.